Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, trusted for remodeling projects big and small. Ideas at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, November 4th. I'm Abby Larico. It's financial support that families count on each month to get food on the table. But the government shutdown means November's SNAP payments will be reduced and delayed. Local food pantries and nonprofits are trying to step up and fill the gap.
However, it is not enough to make up $370 per month on average per household.
A conversation with the leader of one of those organizations coming up after this news on The Gateway. The St. Louis County Council's Ethics Committee wants to remove Public Health Director Dr. Kanika Cunningham from leading the county's animal shelter. STLPR's Olivia Mizell reports.
The Council's Ethics Committee, chaired by Councilman Michael Archer, will present a report tonight detailing the findings from several hearings on operational issues at the animal shelter. The report alleges several examples of Dr. Cunningham's mismanagement, including poor communication and using a liaison to the Animal Protective Association who was allergic to dogs. Archer says the county has proven that it cannot effectively operate the facility on its own.
After drafting this ethics report, do not have any confidence in Dr. Cunningham running the animal shelter.
The report recommends that the council hold a vote of no confidence in Cunningham's leadership of the shelter. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
Spirit Airlines will depart from St. Louis next year. The St. Louis Business Journal reports the budget carrier announced it will no longer operate at several airports, including St. Louis Lambert International, after January 8th. The airline says it's part of efforts to streamline operations. Spirit currently operates routes connecting St. Louis with Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, and Las Vegas. The airline filed for bankruptcy for the second time this year in August. A St. Peter's woman will spend 5 years in prison for starting a fire that seriously damaged four businesses in Puerto Rico last January. Danielle Bertothi was sentenced yesterday. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman has details.
Bertothi admitted in July that she set a fire outside a bar she had twice been asked to leave. No one was injured, but a hotel had to evacuate about 40 guests. According to a Puerto Rican newspaper, its owner told the judge he had forgiven Bertothi and hoped that would allow her to keep moving forward with her life. The 5-year sentence is the minimum under federal law for arson. Bertothi will also spend 3 years on supervised release and must pay restitution. The exact amount has yet to be determined. Bertothi has been in jail in Puerto Rico since her arrest. Her attorney says she has used the time to work towards sobriety and is grateful for the relatively light prison sentence. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Parts of Illinois could start to look a little more wild next year. Rewilding will officially be part of the state's conservation approach. It's the first state to write the strategy into law, which advocates say formalizes efforts already happening in Illinois. Rewilding focuses on repairing habitat suited for apex predators like mountain lions and keystone species such as beavers and bison. When they can succeed, other species will start to recover around them. Jason Kahn is the board president of the Rewilding Institute. He says the strategy has benefits beyond ecological recovery.
It doesn't cost a lot of money. The nature knows how to take care of itself if we stop insulting and abusing it. All you would need to do for something is to let it grow, let it mature, and let it be, and the wildlife will find a way in.
The Illinois law goes into effect in January. A nationally known author is bringing his fellowship program for Black fiction writers to St. Louis. Kimbilio means safe haven in Swahili. The program provides emerging writers with mentorship, critiques from notable authors, and access to editors and agents. St. Louis and David Haynes started the program in 2011 in Dallas. It'll now be based in the Grand Center Arts District. He says he wants to help make St. Louis a popular tour stop for Black authors.
We want those writers, whether they're at the beginning of their career and are going to win the prize in 5 years, or maybe win it next year, we want them here.
STLPR's Andrea Henderson spoke with one fellow who says the program is invaluable to Black writers.
Lauren Morrow grew up in Hazelwood. As an adolescent, she took dance classes at COCA and read books in her spare time. She later enrolled in a Master of Fine Arts program in Michigan, which is where she began writing her first novel. In 2023, Morrow brought some of her manuscript with her to workshop as a Cambilio Fellow. She says the program sharpened her writing.
When you've done a workshop like Cambilio, that work is in really wonderful shape because you've gotten the feedback of not only the people that are in your workshop, but also the professional leader who is a published author.
Morrow will discuss her novel, Little Movements, for Cambilio's reading series on November 24th at Left Bank Books. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Several long-awaited restaurants opened in the St. Louis area in the last month. Before October, you could only pick up a pie from Nikki Slice's Pizza Club to bake at home through an Instagram order. Now you can get the creatively topped Detroit-style pizza from a shop on the hill. Cocktail and Raw Bar Extra Wavy and Speakeasy Prohibition are now open near Lafayette Square. A fire in that building had shuttered PW Pizza and the 21st Street Brewery in 2023. To see other restaurant openings and closings, visit the story at stlpr.org. The government shutdown means thousands of people in the St. Louis area will have reduced SNAP benefits this month. Lucy Short of St. Louis is one of them. She is a full-time yoga instructor who receives the assistance.
A lot of people assume that people who are receiving SNAP benefits are not working, don't have a job, are somehow trying to receive handouts and, manipulate the system. I think that a lot of people on SNAP are gainfully employed and work really hard.
The reduced and delayed November SNAP payments are putting pressure on people who already struggle to make ends meet. It's also challenging private organizations that help people with food insecurity. St. Louis on the Air's Elaine Shaw spoke with Kristen Weil, CEO of Operation Food Search, which is an agency that provides nutrition support in eastern Missouri and southern Illinois.
What stands out to you in what Lucy Short said there?
She's spot on. We have many clients who work one or two or even three jobs. A lot of the SNAP households have people, families with children, elderly, disabled, veterans in them. And there are a lot of folks that receive SNAP benefits because of their income level, despite how hard they're working. But given the high cost of living, inflation that we've seen, grocery prices go up 20 to 25% in the last 4 to 5 years, it is just simply too difficult to meet all the requirements, housing, medical, food, that are necessary for a healthy life.
Mm-hmm. How do misconceptions, Kristen, about who receives food assistance and why? How does that affect the work that Operation Food Search does?
You know, we're really always fighting the stigma surrounding needing assistance. You know, we've got children who take home food on the weekends through our Operation Backpack program. And, you know, we put it in backpacks that are very discreet and just look like a book bag. You know, we know that that exists. And we encourage people, if they need help, they need to reach out for it. They should not struggle alone. They should find local food pantries near them. They also, if they potentially would qualify for free and reduced lunches and breakfasts at school, they should absolutely apply. Some school districts are universal free and reduced lunch schools, and every child has access. But in other districts, depending on the income level of the area, families have to apply for it. Mm-hmm. So right now is really a key time. Those meals are flowing, and we want to ensure that kids are fed to the extent possible.
Mm-hmm. So these issues are what you and your partners at Operation Food Search are keeping track of. How have you all been able to help your clients through all of these changes and the uncertainty?
Fortunately, we are in a community that is so philanthropic. People have been rallying around this. In just the last week of October, we had 40 different food drives set up for Operation Food Search to benefit our community. Those are ones that we are aware of. So what Operation Food Search is doing is we are garnering this extra support that we're receiving in the form of financial donations and food donations, purchasing more food. So fortunately, we have had a wonderful community response. However, it is not enough to make up $370 per month on average per household. So we are doing everything we can, but we really, really hope that the funds will be released to the full extent.
That was Kristen Wild, CEO of Operation Food Search, speaking with St. Louis on the Air's Elaine Cha. Our Jonathan All edited that piece. You can find more of our coverage on this topic and ways you can help at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.